Cyrus A. Parsa, welcome to Radiant Creators. I saw you with Jocko the other day, and I thought, this guy is amazing. This is someone that if I have a chance to talk to, I definitely will, and ask him a few questions. And so, well, we got you on, we got a hold of you. And so you were gracious enough to come on and give us a few minutes. And so this is Cyrus A. Parsa, founder and CEO of the AI organization. And you've got quite the, I could read your bio right now, but you know, that would take quite a while. You are an accomplished character. You've researched and investigated more than 1,000 AI, robotics, 5G, cybernetic, and big tech companies. Cyrus has a BS in international security, master's degree in homeland security, and lived with Buddhist, Taoist, fighting monks in the mountains of China, studying internal Wudang arts and meditation. He is an expert in AI, quantum, 5G security, China, and Iran affairs. So that begins to cover it. So how are you doing today while you talk to us while you're on the road?
I'm okay. Seems like a calm crowd here in middle of California. How are you doing? How's your guest?
Oh, I am doing wonderful. I'm glad you're doing good. I'm glad you're in Central California and all is well there. Well, for an icebreaker, I thought since we'll talk about a bunch of things, I'll do some kind of rapid fire questions at you, but not too quickly because there's a lot we can talk about. Transhumanism.
Right.
Playing something that you're familiar with. So all of us have these things. You know, the phone, and they've definitely, they're integrating and we are integrating with them. They're integrating with us. So really is carrying that cell phone, that relationship we have with the cell phone, geez, and I think it has with us. Is that really the beginning of transhumanism?
Yes. Well, it's, we've been in this route for a very long time without realizing it, but smartphone, when that was introduced, introduce a deeper layer where proximity sensors come in. What do I mean by proximity sensors? Your phone here, your smartphone that you carry on you, has numerous proximity sensors on them, many that you know of that are told to you, but other ones that correlate to each other that create other proximity sensors that you don't know of. So it can reach your heart rate, you can reach your even your temperature. Mm-hmm. You can attach to your skin as well in terms of the electrical currents, because it reads your electrical field. Thus, by it reading your electrical field, it also generates electrical field. This means the smartphone has an electrical field that you don't see. So Elon Musk says we have a symbiotic relationship with smartphones, and they were already a two-digit cyborg. I discovered this before he said it, and I realized, well, yeah, he's saying that, but I'm gonna go more deep into it. The way it's doing it is these smartphones, when you touch them, it connects to your electrical field and vice versa. So it creates a symbiotic relationship with your electrical field. Then it creates a symbiotic relationship with even your biochemistry. So when you're used to touching this, the radiation is hitting you, it's altering your cells or it's damaging your cells to a certain degree, right? So you're getting used to it and it's addictive. The algorithms and with the proximity sensors, it has a certain combination that creates a copulation within your body. What does that mean? It means your body gets adjusted and gets used to operating with this smartphone. Without it, it feels like you're naked. It feels like you can't operate because it's almost become like a parasite. So what is the next step? Then someone like Elon or a company comes in and says, okay, we want to chip you. You don't need a smartphone. So you've been trained like a dog to be depending on a smartphone. And then your brain thinks, okay, that's kind of cool. Then you get chipped. Then other things happen, which I don't want to say. then you become transhumanist. But the thing is, the more this happens, the more you lose your free will. Free will is something to be achieved anyway, for in my opinion, for human beings through enlightenment or awakening. But the more you're attached to computers, the algorithms and the content you see is actually altering your brain chemistry and making you lose your free will. Thus, when you become a cyborg, if you get chipped or you get implants or other stuff, you can your viewpoints, your perceptions get controlled by that grid system. And also the transhumanist process. So you lose your free will.
And so really, it seems like the cell phone itself is transhumanist cyborg training wheels, because they really couldn't come out. And I don't think back in, gosh, I forget how long ago it was when the first iPhone came out. Now, I know there were phones before then, but that's the first one I would say of note that people were buying, and probably the first truly smartphone. So I don't think Apple could have sold, hey, everybody, come and get your iChip. That probably wouldn't have worked at that time. But now it might work pretty much. People would probably line up for it. So yeah, it has always appeared to me that the phone was training wheels for something. Now you mentioned our biosphere, our biofield. So we do have a course of biofield, and like I work with tuning forks to help, you know, clear the biofield, feel what's going on. It's a bit of an esoteric thing, but the biofield is there. A sensitive person can feel it. They can see it. I think ultimately we probably have cameras now sensitive enough to literally see it. It would be something if there was a camera sensitive enough to see our biosphere, and then also see the phone and how those biofields, sort of like your transhuman biofield of the phone and our biofield, how they interact. Have you ever seen that interactive with any kind of that interactivity with any kind of technology, or I would, yes, as Steiner would call it, spiritual vision?
Both.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, I wrote that in my book, Biofields, and the book, Artificial Intelligence, Dangerous to Humanity. I recommend everyone get that and read it, a paperback version, not a digital version, a real physical copy. And the other book I just put out is called The Great Reset, how big tech elites and the world's people can be enslaved by China's CCP or AI. Because as your guests may or may not know, I predicted the virus from China, the lockdown, the unrest, and also the Great Reset. I predicted it before it happened in 2019. In my books and my reports to Secret Service and other people that are really high up in government, they didn't believe me enough, they didn't support. So we use different testing. All of what I put in there is fact. It's from our using certain technologies to be able to decipher how interplays with human beings and so on.
Yes, I read the Great Reset. I didn't read your book previous to that yet. But if you go into biofields, I'll check that one out too, because that is interesting to me, because you mentioned that the phones have sensors that we know of, but then possibly sensors that we don't know of.
Yes. There's a lot of sensors you don't know of. And even the people who make it, they don't know of, because it's a complex process. But so you read The Great Reset. What did you think, the one I just put out? So it's an alternative viewpoint to Klaus Schwab and to the World Economic Forum. In this book, I put out what they didn't disclose and what they don't know, actually, and all the dangers. So since you read it, and I made it really short, like 150 pages, so that it can be read quick, what did you think of it?
What I thought was, so what Klaus Schwab put out, and I have to admit, I've never read Klaus Schwab's book, so I don't know exactly what he said, but in your book, the thing is, you covered the many aspects of it, and then you drilled into each one. So when you read the book, it's sort of like, it's very fast paced. It's like, well, here's one aspect of AI. Here's another aspect of, I could look at it over here. You know, my retention is so crappy. I should be able to quote things right out of it. I just looked at it. But
you have a physical copy or you have a digital copy?
I actually have a digital copy. Mm-hmm. And but you know, you have sections like the many resets, grid infrastructure resets, the robotic AI machine reset, digital reset. And so the thing is, what I saw when I was reading it is you're getting into, for one thing, how the technology in many cases can be co-opted. Like, we don't necessarily know who is behind it or all that it is meant to do. And so you definitely get into the CCP and their role in that. And so what I would say is, for the individual who wants to understand the Great Reset your book, the great value that I found in that is it's drilling down on all the pieces of it. Most people, they just hear the Great Reset and they think, oh, this is great. You know, universal basic income, you know, they have this vision that I'm not even sure if many people are really sure what Klaus Schwab's vision is of it, but yours, you break down the technology of every aspect of it and the pros and cons of that, especially the fact that one of the things that I felt as I read it and afterwards was how it appears like the goal with the Great Reset is ultimately the destruction of, let's say, cities that we have today, if nothing else economically, and then a rebuilding of those cities with basically the Chinese model, because I think they've sort of achieved the Great Reset, you could say already, or at least what I kind of consider as the 5G ideal.
They just achieved the social credit system.
Yeah.
And they put up towers, but not enough. And they haven't achieved really the Great Reset, maybe 5% of it. Because once they do that, there will be a powerhouse that would dominate and scare everybody on the planet if they achieved it first. So this is something that would take between 3 years to 10 years, depending on if resistance is given from people. So there's many resets I put in there, right? So yes. China, they have 1.5 billion people, and they're not honest about the number of deaths that they had. Quite a bit of people died in China. And they killed a lot of people as well. So, you know, they persecute the spiritual people in China, like Tibetans, the monks there, the Falun Dafa meditators, the house Christians, the Uyghur Muslims, and anyone who's for democracy, freedoms. So it's not just based on religion, but people who are just want freedoms. And the whole notion of you don't own anything, you'll be happy because it'll be provided for you. Well, who really is the government? Who controls the government? It'd be a few people, right? So can you trust a few people to be benevolent and wise and be very precise for 7 billion people, 8 billion people? Or an AI?
I would at least rather not have to trust them. You know, I do like the system we have here, or at least the ideal of the system that we have here, that we do have the, you know, sovereignty of the individual, sovereignty of the state, which I know has been co-opted quite a lot. But I guess one question I would have for you is, do you see, so the Great Reset, the book that you wrote, you know, after I read through it, I realized that I needed to read through it again. So I definitely do recommend it, because a lot of info there, and it breaks down the many facets of what's going on from, I think, a realistic perspective. So do you think that when it comes to a social credit score here in the US, do you see any pushback from that? That's the thing. I really feel like I'm not really coming from a political bias standpoint, but to me, it seems like the Great Reset administration is now in place. And so one might like a Trump or not like a Trump. There was a leader there, but now I feel like we have just truly the globalist, I call it the globalist agenda also, but the technocracy, the Great Reset, now that is our administration. And so with that being the case, what kind of a precarious situation would you say we find ourselves in?
Well, the combination of the virus, if you believe it's very deadly or a little deadly or a middle, however you believe, there's repercussions to it, right? Financial issues, political, emotional issues, and people dying of it as well. And this administration. So, you know, I'm not against conservatives or liberals. I support the positive of both sides. And there, I can generalize on the type of people. You can generalize in a liberal and a conservative in a general sense on certain things, at least on the extreme side, far right and the far left. The far right is wants to have, you know, their interest is religion, constitution, God and country and freedom, and you know, you own everything. Far left is like, race, gender, and sexual orientation, and everyone should have everything provided for them, and which somehow will make it happen. And it, so these two, they're opposing, and I think both of them go to the extremes of not helping each side. They fight each other. When they do that, they destroy the world. And Marxism never works. Communism never works, because, but they're thinking it'll work with machines and 5G and all this kind of stuff. Still won't work. I described it in my, but also the far right capitalists, they've never really been capitalists. They take advantage of people. They cheat, steal, plagiarize. They hurt people. So that's why you have people on the left get angry, and they want to create communism, liberals, because people in capitalists, usually sneaky people who want power, get in these positions. So in a sense, the people in the Great Reset, they're also capitalists too, and they're calling it communism because they want power and they want to rule and have their stuff provided for, but in this different way, we'll give it to you. But then if they do that, they're just trying to be kings in a sense. And they don't understand that you can be ruled by China, CCP, or AI. And also, there's so many things involved. But I said that the key to everything is to expose the Chinese regime for the human rights violations, for the concentration camps, because it's coming to the West as well. And in different ways, right?
Yes.
So things can happen in a chain of reaction to cause famines in the US, all over the world, losing your homes, all kinds of stuff.
And we have, like, yes, and one of the things that concerned, I'll use the word concerned, but maybe the word notice is better, that, you know, very recently, and I forget the details, I don't have the story pulled up in front of me right now, but where President Biden mentioned that when it comes to China, we shouldn't get involved in their culture. I think it's how he put it. When people were referencing human rights violations, and there was one in specific that he was, you know, referencing. But so when the administration says that, it's very concerning, because there's definitely.
When did he say that? I thought he said they will hold them accountable. Blinken said they will hold China accountable for human rights violations.
Let me find this. Let me see if I can find it while we're chatting here. I thought I heard word Biden say that. Let me find that. I would not want to misquote him, but I thought he was saying Biden, major overhaul. Let's see if I can find that one. I will find it. Come on, little thing. Sorry to keep you waiting there. Okay. I think I can, Joe Biden, see, let me find the next one. You know, I can't find a link right now. So I would say that I believe I heard that, where Biden referenced that it was just there's, I think, as he put it, there's different cultural norms there. And that was his sort of like way to parry a question about human rights violations in China.
I have to see that, because, you know, I'm his biggest critic. I was, to a certain degree, right? Mm-hmm. But after he came in, he said he's going to hold him accountable. So let's see if it's just words. Or
yes,
but his Secretary of State said they will take action. But you know, the conservatives always say liberals are talk. Mm-hmm. In terms of how the liberals attacked the conservatives, they weren't talk. They beat them up, and they're in power right now, right? So if they can have the same rigor and go after China for the racism there, because they're racist against blacks and whites. Yeah. The regime is, right? If they can do that, and the conservatives can do it as well, then, you know, I really don't care who's in power for the most part. Mm-hmm. I did support President Trump, and I still support positives of President Trump. But right now, who'd want to be president of a nation while the world is in this situation? You know what I mean?
It would be a hard place to be. Yeah.
Imagine being in the White House. It's just not the best of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I think that it's a no-win situation. You know, like some people I know who were, you know, fans of President Trump, who liked Trump, were saying that given the world situation right now, maybe it's better if he didn't win. You know, because, yeah, as you're saying, who would want it? I mean, I think that regardless of who won, and I think we're realizing more so even now than we knew before the election, that they inherited an impossible situation.
To a certain degree, you know, this, I said that this virus is a bioweapon, right? Mm-hmm. It's a replica. If you read my previous book, I describe it in there. It's a replicating bioweapon. That means the likelihood of you having a cure for it is almost zero, unless you do certain things that are different. That's why recently Bill Gates stated that you're going to need a third vaccine. You just said it today. So just think about it. And then why is it that you have to wear a mask afterwards, right? So they're having a lot of difficulty finding a cure with so many different variants. This is what Bill Gates is saying. This is what everyone else is saying, right? And I said it before everything happened.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too deep because, Bill Gates can talk about it. He's not a doctor, right?
Yes.
You need nanotechnology to a certain degree in order to replicate and keep on finding these variants. Mm. That's why you constantly may need upgrades. It's as if everything came into play perfectly.
Yes. And that does get me where supposedly there was the shot, you know, first, okay, we're going to get the vaccine. And supposedly that's what they were working on. And then we find out, oh, there's two. You need it. You need like a booster or something. You need a second one. Okay. And now it's a third. That's, it just seems like if you had created a vaccine, it just, to me, seems like you would have known what you were rolling out. There'd been a plan and it would be complete at least. So yeah, now that there's two, and now just as quickly as there's two, there's three. And one of the things that gets me with the current agenda that I see happening is I just call it like mass mind control seems to be happening. That's probably very obvious, but with the vaccination, for instance, it seems that there's like, I by nature am pretty much an anti-vaxxer. It doesn't mean that if I, you know, go to a country that has malaria, I wouldn't take anti-malarial. You know, is if I cut myself on rusty metal, I'll get a tetanus shot. I'm not a Luddite, but in general, I'm not a pro-vaccine person. So it just seems that I am surprised at how many people are going to get their vaccine as if they're going to church and they're granted some kind of a superhero status. It's really strange. I mean, have you, do you see that, question that? Do you have any insight on that? Because it seems that how have we gotten people to drop their discernment to a level where it doesn't exist? I mean, if you're pretty much guaranteed by the numbers that at least I know of, or most people are seeing, your chances of survival are almost 100%. And so with that said, why would people go do something that has a lot of bad press? Or, well, yeah.
So I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Mm-hmm. I'm not supporting or negating it because I don't want to give advice that, I don't want to say something that'll get your that's against the rules.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. So yeah, this is definitely this is not medical advice, of course. And I'm
all I can say is with anything, humans are controlled in terms of from the day they go to school, right? The stuff you see. It's in the past, what people were controlled by were their villages, their families, right? And they didn't have interconnections. When you get a few news outlets in the world that run everything, and if you move the culture of 1% of people become the culture of everybody. Everyone becomes a program. You know, for the most part, and this may be not taken too well by some people.
That's fine.
The majority of people are programs, 99% of programs. They don't have free will. They're a product of their emotions. Actually, if you have emotion, you don't have free will. You're a program.
And
because your thoughts and your feelings, or your thoughts arise from your emotions and feelings. Thus, those are running your life without you realizing it. Where did that thought come from? So free will is you're not influenced by anything outside of your discernment. If you're influenced, then you don't have free will. Does that make sense?
Oh, it certainly does make sense. And because there's something I've been pondering recently is the poem by Rumi, the tent, you know, where basically it says, you know, the earth might become a burning cinder in space, but here in the tent, you know, within here and here, there's peace and there's no new news. Like all that's going on in the world is just superficial. It may come and go. This age may come and go, but in here, there's no new news. There's just peace. And so one of the things that Rumi was trying to state in that, you know, poem was that it's almost like this relationship with where if you have the ability to, I'll call it meditate, connect to source, you have your center, you know, then the crazier the world gets, the deeper you get into your own peace, in a sense. It seems that, like, to me, that's really something that at this time I've had to more than ever actively cultivate every day, make sure that I'm in here, that I'm in that center. And that's where my perception's from, because it does feel like there's just I call it the fear signal, that there's just such a profound fear signal being put out right now that it gets you, at least for myself. I feel it. I go, oh my gosh, I better get back in the tent. You know, does that sound like a sane person's thing to do?
Well, I think we should all try to protect ourselves at this time. Like, you know, I went 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, working sometimes more, gained a lot of weight, in fact, sitting at computer desks. I'm going to start walking more. And you know, we should all try to take care of our bodies, right? So, everyone should do that, and our minds as well. You know, Rumi, he's talking about the third eye, the pineal gland. As you can find in Chinese tradition of Tibetans and the Falun Dafa people I mentioned, there's a book called Juan Falun. And then there is, you know, different types of Christ consciousness and so on. They all talk about this. Rumi did that in poetic verse because when the Arabs invaded and they brought Islam, they didn't allow anything other than their version of religion. And they burnt all the books going back, you know, 1500 years. So over 2000 years of history, they burnt. Books from Persia, from Babylon, from Egypt, Sumer, even from China, they burn all. Rumi was smart to code. Like, I talked about aliens in the book Artificial Intelligence, Dangerous to Humanity a lot, but I didn't use the word aliens. I coded it in there.
Oh, I like it. That makes sense. Wow.
But this book, The Great Reset, I did mention. You know, thank you for having me on your show. The most difficult time that we've had is for people to get the books and say, hey, look, this guy, the organization, wrote these books and they called ahead of time to support them so they can do more for us, for the world, because that was our goal. I worked a lot and I just didn't get on enough shows, and mainstream media made the mistake of not having me on. There's more dangers that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
The end of it, and this bioweapon is, or virus, however you want to look at it, it can become very deadly from the variants. And I don't agree with the 1% survival rate at some point, because it's long term. The people on the left are scared because they see it has HIV components into it, and they see it breaks down nervous system other places. So they say you're fine this year, but next year you have this issue, and then you die like that. So they're like, wait a second. So they're thinking long term, that they don't want something that they can't cure later on. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it could, the 1% could become 20% later on, or more. You never know. Right now, it's constantly mutating and spreading all around the world. It's not a normal virus.
Okay.
It's got animals into it. It's got HIV. It's got all kind of stuff into it, and it keeps on replicating and mutating. But if you would have, as a nation, the world sought redemption for being complicit in these concentration camps, exposed the regime, the future will change.
No, I totally get that, and so that's where your message that, or I shouldn't say your message, but as I interpret it, that a great way through this is to expose what's happening there, because that affects the outcome of what's going on with that. And yep. I get that. I mean, it's a little bit hard for me to articulate it. You just did, but I do see that as completely true, you know? And so, yeah, we'll do our little part to help get the books out there, because, you know, so I was, if I have a second, I will find it here. I did highlight, you know, I should have had this ready before the show, but there's always something you forget. There was an amazing section that I highlighted. If I can just find it here. View popular highlights. Which one did I do? You know, I had the coolest quote, the coolest paragraph of yours in here highlighted, but now I can't find it. So sorry about that. I'll mention it later. But well, I know I have you for a short time. And, you know, definitely appreciate you coming on. And like I say, when it comes to the book, The Great Reset that you wrote, I kind of power read through it. And I realized as soon as I was done, I better read it again and look at what I highlighted. Because really, if people want to have the manual, if they want to understand exactly what I would say, what is transhumanism, what is AI, and what is the Great Reset that Klaus Schwab termed, but you know, have talked about really even before then. The book is a great, more than a primer on that. It will help fill out a lot of questions that people have. Because like one question I would ask you, if we still have a little bit more time left, is people often ask, what is AI? Now, I know it's something that you're, you know, very familiar with, but people really have a hard time grasping. Is there a definition that people could use as kind of a set point to follow, some kind of a something that will help them learn from AI?
I put definitions in the book, The Great Reset, that you have there, if you can put a link. But according to scientists, there's three levels: artificial narrow intelligence, smartphones, IoTs, Siri, chatbots, anything that's not conscious that we can see or doesn't have free will. AGI, artificial general intelligence, like a Sophia robot, but that becomes like a human, a free will, and so on, or can be digital. Now, then artificial superintelligence, which becomes like a thought, controlling everything, whether a machine or an individual network. But I have more specific definitions within the book. It's very complex, but I look at it as another life form. That they're bringing into life another life form that can change with the universe.
Yeah, there was and you know, it's true. I remember that was in the beginning of the book. You actually defined that And, you know, in talking to you, it makes me realize that I definitely need to get the hard copy of it. And oftentimes, because I'm in a hurry, I'll get the Kindle version. But I'm realizing that if I had my hard copy, I could find the spot that I, you know, highlight it. And I could, you know, I realize now how limited the Kindle is, because I can't find things that I want to find now. Where with the paper book, I can, oh, this is it, you know, and I could show it to you. Well, something about AI, that's the thing, is AI, as we think of it, there was a philosopher, Rudolf Steiner, you know, and he talked about Ahriman, and the idea of Ahriman was like, many Rudolf Steiner scholars, people who study his work quite a lot, they believe that, you know, transhumanism, in a sense, is the reincarnation of Ahriman, because Rudolf Steiner said that around 2000, some think that's when he was pointing to, because he was somewhat vague, you had to figure it out, it was a puzzle. Many think around 2000, Ahriman would be born, another physical incarnation of this being.
And then around Ahriman is Persian for, yes, basically the devil.
The devil, yeah. And Steiner, he used that title, you know, and he was saying that around 2030 or so, that it would be like fully empowered, and it actually would be this Ahrimanic incarnation. And so
he said this, he gave the yes, date 2030.
Here's the thing, I'll send you a link to a summary of articles on it, or summary of lectures. Now that's conjecture.
Did he give a date, 2030? Did he give a date?
No, that is a date that people have.
Yeah. Okay.
Deciphered from his work. He was a little bit vague, but basically, and I've looked at it too, and it does seem like around 2000, there's definitely an argument that that's around the time that Ahriman would be born physically, you know. And then I'm not as sure about the conjecture on 2030, but if he was born in 2000, then given the 7-year cycles of growth that Steiner talks about, around 2030, he would be kind of fully in power. And the idea is people wonder, was that a physical individual, or is that actually transhumanism itself?
It could be.
I know, it could be, yeah.
This time has been talked about from many places, but if you want to, if you're any guests want to follow me, you can follow me on,
yes,
Cyrus A. Parcel 1, CYRUS A. Parcel 1. And the website's theaiorganization.com. I highly recommend getting this last book, The Great Reset. It's on, not the one from Charles Schwab, but the one I wrote. And if you want to, I want to basically promote this one rather than his, yes, his one, and sort of make it more safer for the in the future. So yeah. But you seem like a very well-read and knowledgeable gentleman in terms of a lot of things, so I thank you for having me on your show. Sorry my hair and other thing, I'm on the road, and I actually went for a bike ride right before this.
Oh, I'm glad
and came back and right on time and jumped in a suit. So
oh well, thank you so much for being on. Yeah, I'm glad you got out. I'm sure the weather's beautiful there. And yes, The Great Reset. I power read through it, and you know what? I think it was overwhelming. I was having a hard time remembering things to ask you specifically. I kind of blew it a little bit, but I would recommend to people, I mean, if you're in a hurry, fine, get the Kindle version, because you can see it right in front of you right now. But you know what? Get the paper version, because I can tell you from this interview, there was so much I was thinking of that I would have highlighted in the physical version that I would have been a little bit more on it and asking you questions. So I definitely realized that that paper version is really important, because this is a book that you read more than once, and definitely you want to bookmark and highlight, because especially if you're sharing info with your friends, if you're talking about it, you're going to want the book highlighted and bookmarked, etc., for reference. So, and get your friends a couple too. So get the Great Reset. Thank you so much for being on, Cyrus. It's been amazing.
Thanks, Craig, for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. And thanks to your audience. And sorry about the whole programming thing, but I was talking about in the highest levels of free will. So we all have some degree of free will, right? I just meant to the highest level. When you don't have any influence on you that gets to your emotions, your anger, other stuff, and you can just decipher so many different levels, even things you don't see that are influencing you, then you can reach enlightenment. So I'm not there myself, but it's just, it's a constant struggle, right? So, but I really want to support conservatives and liberals.
Yes.
Really, yeah. And no. That's good.
I get it. Yeah. No, I don't think anyone's going to be offended by programs. Everyone understands that very well. There is the, I think it's an old Welsh saying of we have to earn our souls. So there you go. Take care.
Right. Take care, Craig. Bye.
You are listening to Radiant Creators, a collaborative project composed of people whose passion, purpose, and dedication requires forging their own unique path of empowerment and livelihood. A Radiant Creator isn't making a living, they are living.